So as we offer up our evening sacrifice unto the Lord, and through Christ trust that he will make it pleasing and acceptable to him, we know we are entering into an act of faith. We could be elsewhere. We could be handling life differently. We come unto the Lord as an act of faith and remember that he will reward us and give us the comfort we need to handle our feelings. We turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I often refer to this as the hall of faith. Maybe you could also say the hall of the faithful, but they're faithful because or by faith, because of or by faith. We're going to go into chapter 12, verse 13. I'm not really going to go into a lot of the details tonight. I mainly tonight want to give you an overview and a sense of what I hope will be the main thing we get out of it tonight to help us. I've expressed to you, as I've been grieving over the loss of my wife, I've expressed to some of you more privately in more detail sometimes, here's what I'm dealing with right now, sometimes just an email, thanks for listening, you know, and I've been encouraged by sometimes the feedback is, thank you, this is helpful. And I think sometimes people who are suffering can want to isolate themselves and say, you don't understand, you haven't been here, and that's the worst thing you can do for yourself and for others. You need to let other people understand, so they can help you. So I've appreciated that feedback. So I'll share with you tonight where I am as we're about ready to go away for 4 weeks to heal, which is an act of faith for us. I don't want to go on vacation. You might remember from the sermon that the ministry is a heavy burden. You never leave the office behind as a minister. It never is off your mind and your heart. And frankly, right now, I just don't want to. I don't feel up to it. I do not want to go and see the things I'd hope to see with Jennifer one day. It's going to be difficult, but I know I need to, and I know we need to, and that's going to be an act of faith for us. We'll talk more about that. But that's kind of where we are. It's hard. You know, you're going through things. You're not just going through the motions, but sometimes I think it's helpful to just kind of share where we are and know it's going to be a long journey, as one of our brothers has said to us often. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. I want to share with you so it's helpful for you to know where we are and to be there for us. I also want to share it with you to be helpful for you because you may need this right now. Likely many of you do need it right now. Not everyone wears their heart on their sleeve as much as I do, and that's not necessarily exalting myself, just saying, you know, I realize I'm more open than some others. Sometimes I know that the criticism can be too much. You may be going through something we don't know about. I hope you'll let us help you, but you need to know this. I guarantee you will need it. You will need it. So I want to share these things with you as we turn to Hebrews 11. I'm going to share with you a little differently tonight a number of things that I've been thinking about for a few weeks that have helped me and I hope will help you. I took my love, I took it down, climbed a mountain and I turned around, and I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life? Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I've built my life around you. Time makes you bolder, and children get older, and I'm getting older too. I think it was before the funeral or shortly thereafter that song came up on YouTube. I often will find a YouTube clip and click it and try to slowly fall asleep till the point where I'm forgetting I'm trying to fall asleep. And for some reason, that I thank the Lord for it, that song by Stevie Nicks called Landslide was there, and I clicked it. I said, oh. And as I listened to it, I sang it there. I sing it a lot. That is it. Her situation wasn't quite the same by my understanding, but the story was She was up in the Colorado Mountains, and she was looking out, started writing the song, looking out over the gorgeous snow on these huge edifices of the mountains, so beautiful, so majestic. And then I think what happened was there was an avalanche. Or if not, she was imagining when it could be. And all that beautiful snow that looks so pristine and still and peaceful pours down and destroys things and can take life. The song is called Landslide, and you heard that in the words, and you know, that's what it is. Is everything, my reflection in the snow looks great until the landslide. And that's how I've felt, because I really appreciate, she says, I've built my life around you. I've built my life around you. And we build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, but the reality is if we jump into marriage correctly, we jump into being one flesh. No longer two, but one. And if you've done that long enough, it's even harder when it's torn asunder. I built my life around you. That's why I just can't seem to shake the sorrow. I built my life around you and she's gone. And we weren't done. I feel like in some ways, 18 years, we were just getting started. You see, a landslide, think of the aftermath. It's devastating. And you don't clean that up in a day. You don't clean that up sometimes for years. Think of it, it takes years to recover from a horrible disaster. Think of a tsunami. Years and years and years when it hits you. It feels like, I feel like I've been hit by a tsunami. My life is like being hit by a tsunami. Week after week, waves after waves of trying to fix everything because she's gone. Credit cards are canceled. Bank accounts don't fix things we've talked about on the phone for hours. I have to call again just to do what they're trying to tell me to do. It never ends. It will end, but it doesn't feel like it will ever end. I was really appreciative another time I was trying to fall asleep. I had, but somehow this woke me right up. A YouTube video with a man named Patton Oswalt. He's an actor, comedian. If you've seen him, you'll probably recognize him. He's frankly kind of cute. I think he's cute. This year he lost his wife. She died in her sleep. I think he's about my age, has a young daughter, 7 years old. And he won an Emmy this year in 2016. And afterwards, when he was speaking, he was recognizing his wife, just praising her for everything he was. Anything that was good was her. I could really identify with it. Later, he's asked about that in a talk show interview. How are you doing? And I really appreciate it. It was a comedy talk show, but they were sensitive in asking him, how are you doing truly? And then actually listening and not making jokes of the answers, but expressing, wow. And he handled it well, and he wasn't just sad. He talked about things and funny things, but he says, well, there's a lot of insomnia. Oh, yeah, I could identify with that. I could identify with this. He says, having to tell his daughter that his mom had passed away was the hardest thing he ever had to do. He said this really describes where I'm at. He says, now it's like the lights have been turned down 50%. That's just what life is like now. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, you can function, of course, and you want to, but it's just not as easy. He took his daughter on vacation to avoid Mother's Day at school. Later on, an article following up with him, he shares how when she had died and the paramedics had come, he was throwing up and screaming. That's what it does to you. And he said he will never be 100% again. He says he's no closer to closure at 102 days. He noted that 102 days at the mercy of grief and loss feels like 102 years. It's 102 days later, and I can confidently say that I have reached a place where I'm crawling. Which, he goes on to say, objectively is an improvement. Maybe 102 days later, I'll be walking. We might be quick to criticize the man. I don't know that he's a believer. Some things he said makes me suspect he's not. But such suffering is not a lack of faith. if expressed by a Christian. It's a processing of pain through faith. We see it even with the heroes of the faith for long periods after such loss of a spouse. In his book, I believe it is called The Love Life of John Knox, Wayne Sparkman notes that in something called The Reformation in Scotland, a document, it is stated there that Knox was in no small heaviness by reason of the late death of his dear bedfellow, Marjorie Bowes. Notice that he was in no small heaviness. The great and mighty and fearless John Knox. No small heaviness by the loss of his wife. And there's a footnote, he points out there's a footnote with that that mentioned John Calvin was writing, again, their contemporaries. Knox studied a lot and was mentored by Calvin quite a bit and advised by him in and out of Geneva and to Frankfurt and other places. And there's a footnote there that says John Calvin was writing to a Christopher Goodman on the 23rd of April, 1564, and he wrote this, "I am not a little grieved that our brother Knox has been deprived of the most delightful of wives." He wrote that in 1564 about how much John Knox was still grieving and hurting. And he lost his wife in 1560, 4 years before. That's helpful. 2 weeks ago, what had me thinking about what I want to share with you tonight. On a Saturday night, I had played with the children. We tried to do some nice things, and I was laying on bed with Isaac, and it starts to catch up to you. And Rachel asked me, "Daddy, are you okay?" And I just had to say no. And I started weeping heavily, and the children, as we know, came to my bed. And we know to do this, we don't usually even ask, we know, and we just come. Laying on my bed, I began to weep heavily. I actually felt like I was hyperventilating. I've never cried like that before. I couldn't really stop. I wanted to call in sick for church the next morning, but I knew I couldn't. I needed to use the sabbatical for vacation, and I knew I needed to get back to work. Everybody has to get back to work. You have to work through it. Maybe at least I didn't have to do the Lord's Supper. I just didn't feel up to it. You know, when you're going through these things, the last thing you want to do, no matter how much you love to preach, is be in front of everyone, having them look at you, and you just wish you could hide in a pew for a couple of decades. I couldn't bring myself to go to our go-to scriptures for comfort because all they did was make me miss Jennifer because they were our go-to scriptures in the hospital. And I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't go to certain Bible verses because it hurt too bad. It isn't that I didn't believe, I just hurt too bad. So I got up and I said, "I'm not going to let Satan take over our lives. We need to have some family worship before we go to bed." And we went out to the living room together and sat on the floor. All I could think to do was open to our scripture tonight. It's all I could think to do. And let's read it now. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through chapter 12, verse 13. This is the holy word of God. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. It helped me hold on. That is, hearing about how others held on by and through faith, going through similar times, frankly, often much, much worse times. Faith is trusting God to be faithful. And faith is seen in faithfully following him regardless of how you feel. I think that's the main idea of the text that we can take away from it tonight, the main point of the text. Faith is trusting God to be faithful. And faith is seen in faithfully following him regardless of how you feel or how it feels. You see, you often feel all wrong, yet you do right by faith. You often feel distant from God, and yet you draw close to him by faith. By faith, you follow God instead of following your feelings. That's what faith looks like in our text tonight. Faith is reading the Bible and believing it. And that's it. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. Faith is not a feeling. That has helped me a lot with how I feel right now and how I've been feeling and how I expect to feel for quite a long time and how I know my children are feeling and how I expect them to feel for quite a long time. What I just said there is very controversial. I aim to demonstrate to you tonight it's the absolute truth of the word, but also how it will help you. Faith is not a feeling is the message for you this evening from the text. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is seen in your faithfulness to God. Now, we're describing faithfulness, not faith itself yet, but the text brings out a lot. Faith is seen in your faithfulness to God. Faith is rooted in Christ, and it is observed in faithful living for Christ. Faith is the root behind the scenes. It is seen in the fruit. Remember, Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. The Reformers, remember, one of the important five solas was saved by faith alone, but they would always answer the objection about, well, you're not going to do any good works. Saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. That's the big part of the theme, the refrain in the text tonight. Do you notice? It starts with this, by faith, through faith. By faith what? Somebody did something. They did something, but how did they do it? By faith. Such as in verse 2, chapter 11. For by it the elders obtained a good report. They get even the reward of a good report because of what they've done. And you're going to see that through the whole text. By faith, so-and-so did something. You see, by faith, the faithful, we see in the text, among other things, worshipped. By faith, the faithful served. By faith, the faithful sacrificed. By faith, the faithful against all odds conquered. By faith, the faithful, and I would argue this is the main thing we see, suffered. How do you go on enduring such suffering? How do you go on bearing under? Faith. And what do you see as the implication in the text tonight? They succeeded. They succeeded. Faith leads to faithfulness. It moves you through the numbness. Faith moves you out of your paralysis. Faith believes God is not a liar and that He will prove it as you persevere according to His promises. Such as 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's the idea you see in the text a lot. They're walking by faith of what God says, not by sight. They don't see it. Remember the context there of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 has been very helpful to me. I've paid closer attention recently because verse 6 and verse 8 say this. To be present in the body is to be absent from the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I do believe that. I have really struggled to be comforted by it. I've often said, I just wish I could look through a window and just see Jennifer enjoying heaven. I think I'd be fine. I believe it, but I don't see it. I can't feel it. I just have to believe it through the window given to me of the Scriptures. Faith is looking through the Scriptures. How wonderful. How wonderful. He says, hey, I know it's hard to believe. You walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is believing that our beloved truly in Christ are truly in a better place. Until you can get to the point that it helps you feel good. Faith gets a large book about heaven at Goodwill for our family respite and vacation devotions. I got a book this fat by Randy Alcorn. I always like to go check out the Goodwill bookstore nearby because they have a lot of good books. Often I get some good Christian books there. And wasn't familiar with it. I says, you know what? We're going to study heaven. I am having a really, really hard time being comforted by heaven for my wife. I'm hurting too bad to be able to just be comforted by that. But I know that's where the comfort is. So by faith, we're going to go there. We're just going to keep going there. We're going to have devotions. That's going to be our family worship. We're going to study heaven. Because our, of course, refrain to comfort us is mommy is in heaven with Jesus. Mommy is all better in heaven. And the more we can get through our pain and train ourselves to think about that, the more and more we'll be comforted. And that's the thing. Faith trains your thinking. More on that when we get back to Matthew 6. Faith trains your thinking to not live in the recent past as if it's the present. As you relive, perhaps you would say, almost like in post-traumatic stress disorder in the kind of situation we had. And it all starts to catch up to you because you didn't have time to deal with it at the time. And then it starts to hit you, especially at night, especially alone. You start to grieve for the suffering she went through. You start to grieve for your own suffering you're going through. And faith trains you to say, wait a minute, we have not left mommy behind. It's difficult to move forward, I find. I feel like I'm leaving her behind. And it hurts so bad. I have to train myself. We have not left her behind. She has gone ahead and we are following after her. And this is the truth, but I don't feel it. I have to train myself by faith and trust the feelings will come later. She has gone ahead into the celestial city, just like Christiana. And yes, the children cried over her passing over the river there, as we did. And when we read it as family worship together, I feared that would be what we would do one day when we read it with Jennifer. And it turned out we did. But faith is trusting how happy she is there, as described by all that went ahead. Faith goes on to finish Jeremiah Burroughs' rare jewel of Christian contentment, though it sat there with just the last chapter. We had almost gotten to finish it together, been slowly trying to get it read through many years. Faith was recently picking it up and finishing it. Faith was then turning to a book I had gotten a while ago, Thomas Watson's The Art of Divine Contentment, because I've said to the Lord, I am very discontented. And I know that I have to learn to trust in you as my only contentment. And so faith is going to resources to get there. It asks to be increased, as we see in the Gospels. It asks to have its belief helped, as we see in the Gospels. Faith is your trusting in God's faithfulness. Faith is seen in your faithfulness to God, but here's where it comes from. Faith is your trusting in God's faithfulness. It's not sitting in a chair. Horrible illustration. Most Reformed pastors are going to give you because they don't think. It's not sitting in a chair. Faith is simply believing the chair will hold you without having yet even sat in it. Not having the need to sit in it to prove or to believe the truth that it will. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You might say this is a description more than a definition of faith, but notice what it looks like at least. It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is summarized in what you're hoping on. But you don't see it. You have the evidence of the testimony of the Spirit to you through Christ and the Holy Spirit by the Word, but you don't see it. You can't feel it. You just believe it. There is no chair to sit in. Faith is personal assent to the Bible's propositions before you have any personal experience to prove it to yourself. Faith is not a three-part thing, as dissected by the common Latin words. I remind you, the Bible is not written in Latin. It's written in Hebrew and Greek. But the average person who wants to seem smart is going to start throwing Latin at you and describe the classic description of faith as three parts. I won't even bother with the words. I can't remember them too well, and I don't care, because that's not what faith is. It's not three things. It's not knowledge and then assent of the knowledge and then trust, which is something different. That's a tautology. Trust is the same thing. And trust gets talked about when you do that as if it's emotion. It's some kind of affection, and they mean emotion. It's some kind of feeling yourself into it. That's not faith. That's setting up people for a boatload of hurt and a doubting of their faith. Faith is synonymous with the word belief in the scriptures. Faith is synonymous with the word trust in the scriptures. As you will see in the Greek lexicon, you scroll over any of those words in the Greek and it says pistis is faith or it's belief or it's trust. It's all the same thing. It's not three different things. It's synonyms. They're the same thing. It does primarily involve the understanding. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We understand things through faith, just as the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. We just believe what God says. That's faith. More on what faith is, I would refer you back to the sermon in the series on the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer number 72, what is justifying faith? So I spend a lot more time on it than I will here, though I'll have a few more applications or explanations. If you want to go back and really study this, I gave a lot of attention to it there. But notice, as I hinted there, or as I didn't just hint, the Westminster Standards never define faith. They assume you know what it is. Just as they don't really ever define covenant, they assume you know what it is. And that's, frankly, because modern times have been a lot of our trouble. People assume they're defining faith, and they're not. So they misdefine it. They talk about justifying faith. They don't talk about faith. That's in the larger catechism. In the confession, they talk about saving faith. They don't just talk about any faith. The shorter catechism talks about faith in Jesus Christ, not just faith in generic terms. That's important to recognize. Often, though, people will bring up the shorter catechism, 86, that says faith is receiving and resting upon Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, which is true and very accurate. But because they have this three-part idea dissection of faith, and they want to make the third something that ends up being emotion ultimately, what happens is they read that into the shorter catechism, something that's not there. Faith is receiving and resting. Oh, resting, sitting in the chair. No, that's not what it's talking about. Faith is receiving initial salvation, justified by faith. But you still need faith after you're saved. By faith, they did all these things. Receiving is the initial receiving, trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ unto your salvation. Converted from a sinner to a saint, but then resting is continuing to believe or trust or have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You see, faith is not some kind of emotion, the wrong explanation of trust that often happens. Faith is believing information to be true even when you don't feel it or you don't feel like it. Some people have to get that into their heads so they show up for worship. Do you know how many times your pastor does not feel like showing up for worship right now? Let alone preaching? Let alone doing the Lord's Supper? Faith shows up. Faith is the same as belief, as evidenced in verse 6. They're not different things. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it goes on, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ah, you're seeking him. That's the activity of faith, the faithfulness, seeking out after him. But faith is belief. Notice, without faith, the word faith, pistis, is the noun form of the same word. Believe, you must believe, is the verb form of the same root word. Pisteuo, pistis, it's all from the same root. It's the same thing. Belief and faith in that same verse are used as synonyms. Not different components that make up faith. That's what faith is. Belief, trust. It's that simple. Of course the devil wants to complicate it, because he wants you to doubt your faith, or perhaps never have any. No doubt faith is a gift of God, and faith relies on God, but faith also trusts God to be reliable and to keep on being reliable according to what he has said. Often when I can't see how this is going to be the case, I can't see how this is ever going to be better. But trust, beloved, that even a little faith, your Lord Jesus says, like that of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, can grow to be the biggest thing in the garden and produce much fruit of faithfulness. And it will grow and produce mainly through various growing seasons. But what we see in the text tonight is those growing seasons are also significant growing pains. Often we see pain that never lets up. You see, that's the greatest need for faith, is to get through the pain, to get into the promised land and not give up through the pain and the suffering, the tribulation. Revelation, what's the whole thing for? Remember our Wednesday night study. Hold fast is a big theme. Hold fast. Overcome. Why? Because you're companions in tribulations. Get to heaven, that's where you'll feel good, is the Christian message. Can't guarantee you you're going to feel good in the meantime. Oh, you can have the peace of Christ, the abundant joy and life of Christ, but not without the pain and suffering. We saw that in our scripture reading tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're going to try to live a godly life, you're going to suffer much tribulation. Faith is seen also in waiting on God's promise. Waiting on God's promises while you feel bad in the meantime. I think you really need to know that. Make sure you know that. Otherwise, people will often make you doubt your faith. That's not going to help you. And it is not going to help you feel better through the pain. I've had so many people tell me throughout the last years, Pastor, I believe that Jennifer's going to be healed. She wasn't. We tried. So what was your faith? It sounds more like when people talk about, I believe in the power of prayer. I'm not so sure we should talk that way. I think we should talk about prayer is personal. God has all the power. We cannot conjure him up and manipulate him. God will do whatever he's going to do with us. He uses our prayers, but he doesn't guarantee the outcome is going to be what we're asking for. And sometimes we talk about, I believe, I have faith, as if I'm going to force God to do something he has not chosen to do. That's why you need to understand this. People talk like that a lot. I had a visitor call on the phone. They didn't want to come because in the discussion it came up about what Jennifer was going through. I had faith. I had faith to try for the very end that God may heal her if he chooses. But I don't know God's secret will. That's not a lack of faith. A lack of faith is not to try. Faith is seen in your faithfulness to God. Faith is your trusting in God's faithfulness. And faith is seen in waiting on God's promises while you feel bad in the meantime. That's a lot of the text. Here's the thing. Think about this. You will not need faith in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? You're not going to need faith. There'll be no need for faith in heaven. Why? Because you'll be there. face to face with God and Jesus, completely free of sin, free from the effects of sin, death, all these horrible, painful things. You're not going to need faith. It won't be necessary. Because then you will walk by sight, and there'll be no need to walk by faith. There'll be no more waiting. You will actually, as Jennifer is right now, be experiencing God face to face. You will be seeing Him and hearing Him directly. And all that He has promised will no longer be partly fulfilled or future fulfillment, but completely there. In the meantime, the other theme of the by faith, I submit to you, is not only that somebody did something, but usually somebody got through something. Mostly tough stuff is shown. Not only, but mostly, by faith, somebody got through a bad thing. And often that bad thing didn't stop. They just got through it and into heaven. That's a theme. If you go back and look through it, it's by faith they got through this. By faith they got through that. They were all victorious, but often not obviously so, and never completely so until judgment day. For instance, we turn to the second part of verse 35 of chapter 11 and a few verses after. By faith, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Wow, that's a lot of what we see faith is. Faith is suffering through and dying without yet having gotten the promise. That's faith. Faith is, I don't get to have it now. Faith is, I'm going to go to my grave waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ for the resurrection. And I'm willing to suffer in this life to enjoy eternal life. Faith is mainly seen in what you do through your doubts. Faith is mainly seen in what you do through your depression. Faith is mainly seen in what you do through your distresses. That's faith. That's the hall of faith. That's who God highlights for you. He's telling you, you're going to hurt. Hurting is not having faith. Faith is getting through the hurt and expecting to hurt some more and not give up on God. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Faith is enduring the first part of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, while waiting to enjoy its second part. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Where do we get to eat of the tree of life? Heaven. Let your faith be motivated by verse 6 of the text. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Be encouraged. God rewards you for diligently seeking Him. When you are hurting, when you are suffering, that's the last thing you feel like doing. And often when you're going through something that has completely been a tsunami to your life, you have literally very little time to do it. But God promises when you go out of your way to make time, find moments, even little ones, those are acts of faith, and I will reward you with myself. As with Abraham, all exhausted in Genesis, I am your exceeding great reward. So you keep seeking Him. Faith just keeps seeking Him. That's how it's seen. So here's how my faith has been seen lately. This is why I've tried to encourage myself with the text and the children. Maybe it'll give you some ideas to borrow as you need to. Faith is going to bed at night and trying to fall asleep. Faith is getting out of bed in the morning, trying to remember that joy cometh in the morning with his great faithful mercies. Faith is opening the mail. I hate the mail right now. I dread the mail right now. It just never seems to end. Talk about a tsunami, a flurry of very depressing activity. Faith is opening your email. Faith, for me right now, is answering the phone or calling people back. Faith is eating when I don't feel hungry. Faith is going on a vacation when I don't want to, but I know we need to. Faith is showing up for church. Faith is continuing family worship. Faith is getting a dog. More illustrations already for some other sermon, but faith is getting a dog. You know why it was hard for me to get a dog? Because one of the last things Jennifer talked about with me when we were still hoping and anticipating healing after 2 years, when we get healed, Grant, after 2 years, our other big goal was to travel the country, retired someday in an RV together. And the other thing she surprised me with, she said, I said, you better be careful you tell the kids this, they're going to cling to it. She says, in 2 years, my hope is we can get a dog. And she had a particular dog in view that we knew back home that doesn't shed and doesn't cause allergies. So it was very hard for me to get a dog because it brought a lot of sadness to me. But faith got a dog. Faith is taking regular schoolwork breaks to cry with one another, and then when settled, getting back to work. Sometimes faith is wrestling for a little while or taking the dog out and then getting back to work. It's a very regular occurrence that the children are, I find them as I go by. Faith is me trying to take care of homeschooling, being up till midnight, 1 a.m, helping them to try to catch up. Believing somehow we will, and it won't always be like this. Very often I'll come across the kids, certain ones in particular, like this, just on the desk. Tears all fill their eyes. It just overwhelms them. Well, who was homeschooling them all the time? Their mother. Homeschooling is a constant reminder that mommy's not here. It just catches up. Faith is crying together and working through it rather than running from it. Praying for comfort at the moment, such as, while I was working on this sermon, I hear Isaac crying really loud, waking himself out of sleep, crying as I come to him. I miss mommy. I miss mommy. It's not an unusual experience. And so at that moment, faith is praying for comfort just for that moment. Believing that God says, I have a comforter. Christ says, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Ask for comfort. He will cry out for you with words you don't have. In that moment, that's faith. Just please cry for me, Lord. I got nothing but tears and pain. Faith is not running from playing when certain songs come on the radio that torture you. A few weeks back, we went to the Chula Vista Mall outside, and the big parking lot they had, it was like the greatest of all jumper things, you know, the inflatable jumper things. Some of the ones we enjoyed the other night together at that other church's event, that was nothing. We were all saying, are you kidding me? Compared to what we know, we're spoiled now. This thing was unbelievable. The kids had a ball. But as we came in, the most meaningful song that could have come on the radio as soon as we came in was one of my songs with Jennifer. And I hardly could handle it. But faith was staying and enjoying the children playing while I missed enjoying them with my wife. And being happy for them to be so happy. I said to them later, I'm learning something. You can be sad and happy at the same time. It's not an and or. And that's helpful to remember and learn. Faith is being able to be happy and sad at the same time as necessary. Romans 15, verse 12. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And you know what? In the church experience, it's always going to be overlapping all at the same time. Same thing in your life. Same thing in your moments. And when we got ready to leave, 2 hours later, I couldn't believe the other song that came on. It couldn't have been a more poignant, painfully poignant song of Jennifer. When it comes on sometimes on the computer, I'm watching something and I can't deal with it. It came on the other night. I can't deal with this. I had to shut it off. But faith is working through that, trusting it'll get better. Faith is getting to those scriptures and getting to those songs that for a time you can't. Faith is looking for laughter, for the medicine of a merry heart. We often say there's a few places we like to go to make us laugh, certain shows that really make us laugh. And we just say, look, we need to stop and we need to go watch something to make us laugh. We really need to laugh right now. We just got to go get a laugh. That's faith. Faith is trusting that one day it won't hurt so bad. And that this is the only way to get there. Faith is trusting it will strengthen and it will heal you. Following faithfully. Verses 12 to 13 of chapter 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Faith is looking to be healed and willingness to go down the long, hard road of getting there that a lot of people avoid. They turn to anything but God for it and never get it. Faith is allowing yourself to hurt so you can get to the point where you're finally to a point of healing one day. And so I shared with you, this is where I went that night when I just could not control the crying. I really felt like I was lost control of my body. It was a new one. Sometimes I have these horrible screams. I had that a few weeks ago. A wonderful, happy day into the late evenings and then the morning hours. But as I walked through the parking lot to drive home, it started to hit me. And I'm like, I got to get to the car. Hopefully no one's looking. And then I literally screamed driving home. It just hurt so bad. I couldn't control it. It was as if somebody was just poking me. I understand a new idea of what it means to have a broken heart. Very, very sensitive. So many memories, happy and sorrowful, they catch up to you at the end of the day. In that moment, that one night, it just had caught up to me, and I was kind of hyperventilating in this case, and I never experienced, I just couldn't stop. Finally subsided, and we went to the Hebrew text. And here, as you know, is what helped me. We got ready for church. The next day, we went to church, and we chose to sing psalms that we've memorized. And we sang Psalm 147, because the Lord is worthy to be praised, regardless of how we feel. And we trust that as we praise Him, He will help us. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Three times in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. I couldn't go there before because Jennifer had constantly and I went for it, even where she could barely say the words anymore. But that's the reality we went to. And as we're driving to church that morning, wow, you hear what it's saying in verses 8 and 9? He brings cheer to those bowed down in mind. God does. And then it went on to say, He brings comfort. He comes to help, especially the fatherless and the widow. And so, of course, the motherless and the widower. God says, I especially will take care of such people. So you see how faith comforted and helped us. Wow, God's going to take special care of us. That's really encouraging. Well, how do we get there? By faith singing. We didn't feel like it. The time we got to church, we were ready to worship. I was ready to do the Lord's Supper that night. The night before, I could not possibly see how that was going to happen. Faith keeps singing while you keep hurting. Thomas Watson, in his book on the Art of Divine Contentment, he answers some concerns at the beginning, as I've shared with some of you Wednesday nights. He says, some of you are wondering, well, does this mean I can't ever lament out to the Lord and express that I'm hurting and I got real problems? He says, no, that's not it. He says, actually, if you don't cry out to the Lord and you don't express that you're hurting, you're being a stoic rather than a saint. Faith keeps crying when it needs to. It just goes to God with it. And he gets through it. Like when I decided to get the dog, we did not plan to get the dog, as you know, a week ago. Anniversary is yesterday, wow. And we went in just to go look at the animals like we do after shopping at the Petco next door. And next thing you know, a few hours later, we're walking out with this dog. And they only took cash, or they were going to let me go ahead and just let it be billed. I said, well, you know what? My bank is right in the parking lot across the way. Let me go get it. And as I walked over there, I just started to cry. And I'm crying as I'm taking the money out, and I was crying as I'm getting back. And I said, I got to be strong for the children. When I get back, I can't cry. Because I was thinking about, I just wish we could do this with Jennifer, and she wanted a dog. We were going to get to the dog together. Faith is getting the dog anyways. It's just like this. Rachel said, as we were driving home from Speech and Debate Monday night, which has been such a joy and comfort to us, she's starting to cry a lot harder, and she was crying. I was thankful. I was concerned she wasn't crying enough. And you know, I try to tell her, you're the lady of the house, but you're not my wife. You need to be 13, and you need to lament the loss of your mother. And she said, I just wish I could share these things with her. And that's really it. I just wish I could share these things with her. I feel bad and stupid about it. Some people make you act like if you can't just act like everything's better and you're all the... Somebody saw me the other day, oh, your face looks better now. Well, it does at the moment, but does that mean I can't look better later? Because I'm dying inside most of the time just because I'm carrying myself better now. You're trying to imply I can't hurt later? I mean, it's been a month and a half. I was married 18 years. And I feel dumb and stupid. We get the dog and... we go to get pizza because the whole night changed. So we're going to get pizza. The boys want to come with me, and I'm feeling it must just be me. I got to get over this. And I go to get Isaac. I open the door, and Isaac's there in his little seat. I got to take him out of it. First thing he says to me, very resolutely, I still miss mommy. As if to say, hey, the dog's great, but don't kid yourself. This is not going to take away my pain. I'm going to miss mommy, and I'm going to miss her a long time. And it hurts a lot. And I said, I know. And I didn't try to make the dog legs contiguous. Thank you for ministering to me, son, because that's how I'm feeling. I still miss Jennifer. And then when we got to the pizza place, after we got it, I stood him outside the car. I said, let me tell you something, Isaac. I kneeled down to him. I said, I want to tell you something. Don't you ever forget your mother. He said so resolutely, I won't. I won't. You know, a lot of people ask me, how's the little one, three-year-old, doing? He must not understand everything. Yeah, he does understand. He says all the time, I miss mommy. A lot of time out of the blue. No one's talking about it. All of a sudden he goes, mommy's in heaven with Jesus. Well, why do you think he's doing that? Because he's missing her. He understands. He's playing his guitar lately in the other room. Mommy's in heaven with Jesus. That's a regular song he sings. He makes up with his pretend guitar. Faith is me letting him do it and not telling him to stop. Some people just want you to pretend it doesn't hurt. And if you have any pain, it's not faith. Of course he understands. He's 3 and a half. He understands. He saw her take her last breaths with her eyes open. He joined us in singing her into heaven in Psalm 23. He was with us when we talked around her dead body in our bedroom. What do we do next? You see, we're still bleeding. If we were one flesh, then I've been ripped open. And you don't stop bleeding from such a huge wound overnight. It takes a long time to scab up. We're still bleeding. The children are bleeding bad. But faith is continuing to apply new bandages of the balm of Gilead. It's not pretending that you aren't having a major gushing. Faith is expecting the bleeding will slow down over time. At some point, there will be manageable scars. Faith is waiting unto heaven to understand while serving the kingdom of heaven in the meantime as best she can. Faith is singing this song with your finger in the air, such as Jennifer did when I put it on the radio one of the last times we were coming home from the emergency hospital stay, usually 1 to 2 weeks at a time, as you know. put it on. I want her to hear it, and she was... Lauren Daigle, "I Will Trust in You" is the song. Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. That's faith. When you don't give me what I'm asking, I will trust you anyways. And so faith will be seen in our going to her concert in December. Some kind saints that were there for Jennifer's burial service noticed the music that we were playing again in the manse later over the food and fellowship, and they said, "Oh, I've relied on her a lot as well." And she knows the band that Lauren Daigle, we've always wanted to go to, both these are our favorite bands, For King and Country. And she knows For King and Country, and the theme song for us now is It's Not Over Yet, along with Lauren Daigle. And a lady called recently and said, "I've got free tickets for you. I asked for you, and I got 5 tickets for you at Will Call if you want them. We're going to go." It's going to be really hard in some regards, because we sang those with our mother so often, expecting a different outcome. But we're going to go and sing them every way and trust the Lord will take care of us. It'll be healing, but it'll be hard, but that will be faith. I want to share all this with you, similar to a while back with some of the other messages. I believe I've needed to alert us. I believe this is a lesson others need to know, because I believe the church is failing our people overall, broadly speaking, on such needs. While the scripture is replete with what you should know. Most of you, though you are far along, far further along than myself, are let to lose your other half. It will rip your heart out. You will never be the same. And you will not heal until heaven. Some of you know that already. You've lost your wives. You've lost your fathers. You've lost your grandson. You never get over it. You just learn to live with it and still praise the Lord, and that is faith. It's not what you feel, trust me. But you can have faith, and it will help you with how you feel. And you can. Your pain and your hurting is not a lack of faith. If your prayers are not answered the way you had hoped and there wasn't healing, it was not that you lacked faith. Your need for comfort is not a lack of faith, but it takes you to where it can be had. Faith chooses to live when you feel like dying. And early on, I asked the Lord to just please take me out of my misery. It was unbearable. But faith says you have a family and a church to serve. Let me say this. It takes more faith to continue on with God when there is no healing than believing on God for healing. Sounds sounds very bold to say, I have faith so-and-so is going to be healed. I have faith, somebody used to say to me, I have faith that that building is going to get sold to us so you can live in that before you come out here, Pastor. Well, it didn't happen. So what does that mean? You're going to it didn't happen. How about I have faith that the Lord will take care of me no matter what? It takes more faith to continue on with God when you don't get what you're asking for. It's easy to say, I believe all boldly, but you don't know. People treat me when I say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm sure hoping for it. We're doing everything we can. But no matter what, my wife and I are and my family are praising the Lord. And they take that. I've had people respond, that's a lack of faith. It's not a lack of faith. I don't know what he's going to do. My faith is I trust him anyways. And I still do. And I trust him to get us through this. And I trust him to make the pain less later. And I trust a year from now, we'll be feeling much better than now. And that's the only way I'm going to get there, that we're going to get there. Often, beloved, when you feel the absolute worst, is when your faith is being tested and shown to be the strongest. Often when you are struggling, I don't know if I have any faith, it's probably when it's the strongest. Believe God. Trust him. Until heaven, keep the faith. Thankfully, you can do that because it's commanded by God. And through Christ, you can do all things. And because faith is not a feeling. Let us pray. O Lord God, we do believe. Help thou our unbelief. And increase our faith. And help us, O great shepherd, to follow you and not our feelings. Though you slay us, yet will we trust in you. We will yet praise you for the help of your countenance. You may give and you may take away as you see fit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, we're hurting, O Lord. We are in great pain and suffering, and you know that. And you know our needs before we even ask. And the Spirit will groan for us when we don't have words. And you, O Father, will hear them through Jesus Christ in heaven. Hear our groaning, groan for us. Guide us on by faith to the time that we feel better. Thank you for faith. Thank you for protecting us from ourselves. Thank you for showing us the truth, for the truth will set us free. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people of faith said, Amen.